ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. చితిం తరుమాయిం చిత్వా చితిం తరుమాయిం చిత్వా తస్యాం పత్యు కళేవరం తస్యాం పత్యు కళేవరం అతీప్యాచనుమారణే విలాపంతి మనోదధే విలాపంతి మనోదధే చిత్తిం తరుమయీం చిత్వా తస్యాం పత్యు కళేవరం అతీప్యాచనుమారణే విలాపంతి మనోదధే. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, she then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Purport. It is the long-standing tradition of the Vedic system that a faithful wife dies along with her husband. This is called Saha Marana. In India, this system was prevalent even to the date of British occupation. At that time, however, a wife who did not wish to die with her husband was sometimes forced to do so by her relatives. Formerly, that was not the case. The wife used to enter the fire voluntarily. The British government stopped this practice, considering it inhuman. However, from the early history of India, we find that when Maharaj Pandu died, he was survived by two wives, Madri and Kunti. The question was whether both should die or one should die. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wife settled that one should remain and the other should go. Madri would perish with her husband in the fire and Kunti would remain to take charge of the five Pandava children. Even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter the fire of her husband. This indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to re-establish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to re-establish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. Chitim darumayim chitva tasyam patyu kalevaram atipya chanu marane vilapanti manodate. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband.
Om Agyati Maranyasya Ganantana Salakyam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasma Shri Kurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's the mood described here. Mood. It's not that one has to give up body and commit mass suicide when Guru leaves. Will not look very good, not? If everyone will commit suicide after Prabhupada left and going with him to next destination, I think would not please him. And it also would not be nice for the continuation of Lord Chaitanya's plan to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So therefore, it's the mood. The disciple, he should be ready to offer everything to his guru. It's not a cheap thing. To accept guru, it's not a cheap thing, it's not a fashion. It's not something I just give you nice image. Or maybe choosing guru who looks nice, smiling nicely, singing nicely, like that. That's maybe nice, now, but it's not the ultimate or highest criteria. Or how many disciples he has, how famous he is. No, not important. The disciple has to understand the principle of Guru as something of full surrender. Practically giving your body, your words, your mind, yourself, your belongings, whatever you have, in the service of the spiritual master. This means disciple. Shishya. Disciple means shishya. He who regulates himself by the following the instructions of Guru, Sri Guru Charana Padma. Sri Guru, it's a honorable address of Guru. It's respectable. It's not different from the Lord. Sakshat Hari Dvena Samasta Shastra here. Uktas Tata Vyata Eva Sattvi. So Guru is the direct representative of Krishna. We cannot go directly in contact with Krishna, speak with him, get association with him. So, but Krishna sends us out of his causeless mercy, yasa prasada bhagava prasado, yasa prasadana gati kotopi. He sends us kindly out of his great mercy, a Vaishnava, who acts as guru. The Vaishnava, of course, he doesn't consider himself guru. He himself is shishya, his disciple of his guru. And in this way, nobody claims, I am the guru. But this principle of guru, coming down from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his great mercy, he's reaching down this chain of disciplic succession, gives us an opportunity to come directly in contact with him. Directly come in contact with him by dedicating our lives, our souls and everything in the service of the spiritual master. What means service to spiritual master or dedication to the spiritual master? It means you should follow his instruction. It's not a can, if I like, if I don't like. If I like to do it, then I will do it. That's modern today. That's fashion, popular, right? If it fits to me, I accept the Guru's instruction. If it doesn't fit to me, it's not for me. It's maybe for somebody else. No. So we put practically Guru's words or instruction on basic of relativity. Like everyone says today, it's very common. No, it's anyway everything relative. No. So, but this is not disciplic succession. This is not the mood. It's not the mood of Guru Parampara. This is not the mood of those who are taking shelter in the Guru Parampara. It means we have to understand what the Guru means, what he actually wants us to do. This needs intelligence. As long as we are on the bodily concept of life, as long as we are on the mental concept of life and only thinking terms of I and mine, we can never understand Guru. Then we take Guru always very cheap and whimsical. And we are never ready and prepared, what to speak of, to do it, really to do it, to surrender to the spiritual master mood, his instruction. Actually, to understand the mood of the spiritual master, this is the real thing what the disciple should find out. Otherwise, if we don't find out what is the mood of our spiritual master, we waste our time. So the mood what the Guru sets, that's the life. That's the life of the disciple. That mood what Guru gives, that's actually the Diksha. This is the life force of the disciple. And therefore the disciple, when he sees that the Guru is not personally in Vapu, present in front of me, guiding me, inspiring me, practically my everyday life, or at least he comes now and then to inspire me and to give me personal instructions and guidance, or sends me a letter. I remember when Prabhupada was sending a letter, you know, that was a big thing. It was a big thing. Everyone came together in the temple to see when a devotee got a letter from Prabhupada personally. No. And it was open. Everyone wanted to see what Prabhupada was writing. Everyone was so happy seeing that the devotee got a letter. Everyone decided to have a letter. Not everyone got. Sometimes we got. Sometimes we had motivation to get letter. No letter comes. Sometimes we have no motivation for letter, and the letter comes. So it's the service. The service. We don't have to make our propaganda out of our service and puff ourselves up in front of Guru, so that he recognizes us. Guru is in our heart. He's not different from the super soul. He knows where we are, what we do, and what we could do. But we could do more. He sees that. And therefore, Guru, he always, because he himself is instrumental in the hand of Krishna, Krishna inspires him to whom send the letter, to whom to respond, to whom how to inspire. So that the devotee gets directly the reciprocation with Krishna through Guru. So this is the way, the seva, the service to Guru, the service of fulfilling the order of Guru as our life and soul. So this is actually Guru's great mercy, how he reveals himself accordingly, of how we are surrendering unto him. That way he reveals. That way Krishna reveals. Yetamam prabhatyante tamstathaiva vachamiham. So there are many paths, there are many ways to go. No? It's all given by Krishna. But we have to find out and follow the path and the mood that the Guru has given us. So he's giving us his books, he's giving us his letters, he's giving us his lectures, his personal example, and he stays with us for some time, but then because he also leaves, and he leaves a big heritage behind, the heritage for his disciples to follow. Well, and therefore that heritage that Guru leaves behind is very, very, very important. That we should cherish. That we should keep very close, very confidential in our heart. And we should share it also with others in making other people happy in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada told, my happiness is if I see others happy. Therefore I came here. Now people are not happy. They're not satisfied because they run after the wrong thing. So in the same way, this, as a disciple, we cannot be happy if we are not ultimately can fulfill order of a guru and try to fulfill his desire. So Srila Prabhupada, he understood his Guru Maharaj very nicely, his mood. And because he could follow that mood of his Guru Maharaj, he became very much empowered and could do something very, very wonderful. That's the secret of success. Also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that's the verse, Vyavase Atmika Buddhir, Ekeha Kuru Nandana. That the one whose intelligence is fixed, or who is determined, who is single-minded, his life will ultimately become successful. Spiritual life, it will become successful. But if we become many-branched, many interests, many ideas, many plans, many desires, bahu-shaka, then everything will become destroyed. We become weak. We become very, very weak and useless. Therefore, that's the mood here when the disciple sees, you know, that he cannot follow the instruction of Guru. He sees his life becoming very weak and useless. Therefore, he maybe thinks, you know, better to give up my life. Example is Jota Haridas. Jota Haridas, he was a sannyasi, follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he contemplated one woman, actually accepted service from her, one Mataji. And although he was actually wanted to serve a nice feast for Lord Chaitanya, but somehow or other he accepted his Mataji's service. So when Lord Chaitanya asked, you know, from where this food prepared, because a sannyasi cannot prepare such a kind of nice preparations. He's not cooking, he's not working on fire. He's only absorbed in devotional service, in hearing, chanting, remembering how he had time for such a preparation. So he found out that Jota Haridas got it from one Mataji. Although she was also a devotee, very confidential devotee even. But Lord Chaitanya, when he heard about that, he told, I don't want to see this Jota Haridas anymore. Because somebody who is on the path of going back home, back to Godhead, it's not only for sannyasis, no? By the way, also for anyone, grihastha, brahmachari, Anyone who wants to go back home, back to Godhead, he has to be determined. He has to be fixed in his determination with whom to associate, with whom not to associate, to accept proper advice and to reject improper things that are not favorable. So the devotee who sincerely wants to go back home, back to Godhead, he should strictly avoid association with Yoshita Sangha, women, or with men attached to women, and to Asat in general, Asat Sangha Tyaga Vaishnavachara. This has to be given up, bad, unfavorable association. Lord Chaitanya points out in this verse, quoted from Chaitanya Chanda Doyanataka, it's better to take poison for a sincere devotee who wants to go back to Godhead than to associate with worldly-minded people. So that's the verse Lord Chaitanya several times quoted. You find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was very strict on that principle of association with worldly-minded people, and divert your mind from the concentration of pure devotional service. So you rejected Jota Haridas. Jota Haridas, he felt so much bad because he could not please Lord Chaitanya. He felt rejected. So, and although he became consoled and pacified, the devotees that pacified, wanted to pacify him, but then he was not to be pacified. So he thought, my life is useless, it's not engageable, useful now anymore in Lord Chaitanya's service. So what's the use to maintain it? Stay a pseudo-sannyasi only. So I commit suicide. So he drowned himself in the confluence of Triveni, of Ganga, Yamuna, in Allahabad. So when Lord Chaitanya heard about that, that his follower died like that, he told, yes, that's the only remedy to do if somebody deviated. From external point of view, it sounds heavy, fanatical, very hard, harsh, no mercy. But from the spiritual point of view, Jota Haridas became greatly benefited because he was a very good singer, kirtaniya. Lord Chaitanya liked his kirtan and his singing. And he, Jota Haridas, because he regretted and he gave up these undesirable things that created disturbance to Lord Chaitanya, his worshipable Lord. He appeared in his spiritual body, he received a spiritual body as a Gandharva, where he appeared before Lord Chaitanya and he was singing in front of Lord Chaitanya, invisible. Nobody could see. Only Lord Chaitanya knew that Jota Haridas, he is there and he is now in his spiritual body chanting the glories. So therefore there is no loss. There is no loss. The worst thing is, you know, if we are deviating and we don't want to see it, we don't regret, we still behave normally, and no repulse, no change in our life. We don't try to change our habits or associate with devotees. Then this is it's not very good attitude. We cannot make progress, and we will stay life after life in this material world. Now. So to give up one's body, of course, also needs courage. Not everyone can do it, even if one sometimes speaks about it. And it's not always very pleasing, like we know from the story of Sanatana Goswami. Though Sanatana Goswami was not deviating, but he considered himself an offender because he thought, my body is sick now because I got this infection from the Charikanda forest, because he took this secret path because of government. He was running away, hiding himself from government to go to Vrindavan and to meet Lord Chaitanya. So he had to go through some jungle, not on the public path, and therefore he got this very infective disease. So when he came to Puri, he didn't want to contact the pujaris there, the pandas of Lord Jagannath, and even Lord Chaitanya. He came near to him and to his dear associates. So he thought, I'm offender, this body is useless now, is diseased, is not usable anymore, it's not in favorable way in Lord Chaitanya's service, and I'm even polluting devotees because of my disease. So I want to give up my life, throwing my body underneath a ratta cart, ratta yatra, and in this way giving up my life. But Lord Chaitanya, he knew the heart of Sanatana Goswami, so he called him and he told him, dear Sanatana Prabhu, you cannot give up your life like that, because first of all, it's not your property, your body. You surrendered your body, your life to me, so you cannot decide with somebody else's property and ruin it, destroy it. I have a very important mission for you, and I see in you, in your body, as an only, if you don't have a body anymore, you cannot perform the mission. Who will do it? Who will write books? Who will give guidelines for new devotees to make advancement? Who will find the lost holy places in Vrindavan? Who will help me for all these services? If you give up life, that's very easy. If you could attain Krishna by giving up life, you know, one could give up many lifetimes, many bodies. So it's not that like that. So we have this body, it's rarely attained. We have a very nice opportunity to serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya and Spiritual Master. So we cannot waste it, we cannot ruin it. Lord Chaitanya would not be pleased. So therefore Lord Chaitanya reprimanded, he chastised Sanatana Goswami not to do that. You know, it's not your property, you cannot do with your body whatever you like. Ruin it. So therefore keep yourself alive. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and all this disease disappeared. So that's one example. Prataparudra Maharaj also wanted to give up life. We heard. He wanted to give up life, his life. He was king of Puri, first servant of Lord Jagannath. And he wanted to give up his life because Lord Chaitanya didn't want to grant him darshan. Lord Chaitanya told, he's a king. King means opulence, attachment, women, money, power. I'm a sannyasi, I don't want to associate with him. Although Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma, and also later on Ramananda Roy advocated for the benefit of the king and told Lord Chaitanya that actually he's a very nice devotee, he's very dedicated. He's not attached at all to the kingdom, to his possession and everything. He's ready to give up everything for your service. still externally Lord Chaitanya behaved cold. Didn't want to have anything to do with him. So when the king heard about Lord Chaitanya's rejection or no opportunity to see him, he spoke, "Oh, Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar, most merciful, he delivered everyone, Jagaya, Madhaya, and so many fallen people he delivered, but myself, Paratabhurudra, is not saved by him. So what's the use? I give up my life." And Bhattacharya saw the determination of Pratapurudra Maharaj to give up his life. Because who is ready to give up his life just like that? Well situated, king, everything, first class life. Who is ready to give it up? So the Bhattacharya became very much amazed. He was very much amazed, you know, how such a personality was ready to give up his life just because he could not get the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. He didn't want to see him. Who of us would do it? Who of us would be ready to do it? So many times we come and see darshan. Sometimes we feel connection, sometimes maybe not connection, and most of the time maybe not so much connection or recognition, the Lord will see you. But we are still not ready to give up our life, feel ourselves useless, because the Lord didn't give me a sign that He sees you. And sometimes the mind becomes very skeptical and thinks, oh, maybe it's just idle and really not the Lord himself. Because there's no reciprocation. And so many things in my life, I don't see the Lord's mercy or arrangement. So very easily one will become skeptical and maybe changing sampradaya or dharma or religion. From the mundane point of view, you can always change, or even become an atheist. So many people become atheist because they see, the Lord is not reciprocating, he's not protecting me, he's not fulfilling my desires, he doesn't show anything, although I try to give him something. So this is the test. That's a test that we go on with our service to Lord Chaitanya and to Spiritual Master, even there's maybe not immediately a reciprocation. Either we have to go on with our service, or even be ready to give up our life. But in case of the king, he was ready to give up his life. And the Bhattacharya, he thought, how is it possible, how wonderful. That means, for him, for this person, this king, he's so fortunate that it's for sure, it's granted that Lord Chaitanya will give him mercy. They make so many times nonsense. So many times I have no reciprocation, no feeling, no realization. But still we are not ready to give up our life. That's our misfortune. It's not that we have to give the mood should be to give it up. Not as a drama, as a theater. Yes, I will give it up in word. But really, no. But then something will happen. Something very wonderful happen if one actually is fully giving himself up. Life is empty, it's useless for him without the darshan of the Lord, without the mercy of Spiritual Master, without feeling a connection, contact with Spiritual Master and Krishna, and should feel empty and useless. That's the mood how one should feel. Like therefore the king also, because he was ready to give up his life, He was felt devastated without Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So he thought really like that. And ultimately by Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya knows the mood. And also the devotees reported to him about Brother Prudhara Maharaj's mood. So internally he was very happy. And ultimately, Brother Prudhara Maharaj and advice of Bhattacharya recited verses on the day of Ratha Yatra when Lord Chaitanya was taking rest in the Jagannath Vallabha garden after a long time of dancing. So Brother Prudhara Maharaj recited many nice verses from Srimad Bhagavatam who were very pleasing to Lord Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya heard these verses, he became very happy. Although he was practically not externally, not by consciousness, he completely became inspired by the slokas recited by Brother Prudhara Maharaj, who was also massaging the Lord's lotus feet, that the Lord embraced him and he told, "Oh, you are such a merciful person. You are most munificent because you are residing these verses reminding me about Krishna." So in this way the king actually got the mercy. He got the darshan and personal seva to Lord Chaitanya. And he became very happy. He became very confidential associate. Although we never hear that the king was directly involved all the time in Lord Chaitanya's confidential associates in direct service. But he had the connection. Because one time you have the connection with Krishna or with the Spiritmaster. One time the spark appeared, you know. That's it. That means your material life is finished. So just one time the spark, some experience, genuine, real experience in the relation to Guru and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, that's finished. That's finished of material life. Then you're there. It's only a question of time. It's only a question of time also how we're spending this time in the time of the separation of Guru or not feeling the direct unity. It's only the fire of the separation. It's actually two things. Either you have the fortune to feel the fire of the separation of this experience with your Guru or with Krishna or with Lord Chaitanya. This fire of separation. Because if you experience this fire of separation, it is so hot, it is so poisonous and nectarian in the same time, that even if that you're the material fire to burn yourself in the your body on the funeral, will cool you down. It's cool in comparison with the fire of the separation. Of course, this fire of the separation, we cannot just kindle like that. And so I want to have this fire now. It's the mood. It's the mood also by the progressing of devotional service and by one time having this connection, this ras, and this relationship with Spiritual Master and Krishna. Then this fire. Then we only have to take care to put air on it, that this fire becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. So that will ultimately destroy our material life. And even in this life, you're already there. The other thing is, if you don't have this feeling of separation, but still are initiated and have Guru, and we have but he's not personally present anymore, then we should try to fully dedicate ourselves to his instructions, what he left behind. Because his instructions, what the spiritual master left behind, is like a boat. It's actually it's Krishna's lotus feet, this boat. And by taking shelter on this instruction of the spiritual master, we can actually crossing over this ocean of birth and death, Bhava Buddhi. Very securely, very easily, because the ocean of birth and death shrinks to the size of the hoofprint of a calf. So easily we can cross it over. So either we have the mood of the separation, or we have the mood of service or dedication to hearing, chanting, remembering and serving Krishna according to instruction of the spiritual master. Spiritual master gives us sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana means he gives us the path, the rules and the regulations based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. And he also gives us the sadhya, the goal. And for a devotee, actually doesn't matter you go back home, back to Krishna or not. It should not be our first intention. It should not be our first motivation to go back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Our first intention should be to please spiritual master, his instructions, and to try to follow that instruction. This, then it doesn't matter, you are here or you are somewhere else. You are everywhere connected. So, therefore we should always pray humbly and always seek the association of devotees who are reminding us about the instruction of our spiritual master. And that's so that we keep inspired in devotional service. Because devotional service is also a fire. Or Sankirtan is also a fire. We call it always the Sankirtan fire. So we always should keep this fire. The fire of Sankirtan is attained by association with Guru and the Vaishnavas who got the ecstasy of Sankirtan fire, of spreading the holy name around the world or wherever you go. So this fire, to come in contact with somebody who is fired up or fiery, makes us fiery. And then when you have this fire, then you have to keep it, you have to put air on it, so that the fire will always be maintained, so that we never cool down. If you cool down, it's a bad sign. You should never cool down from the fire of devotional service. Either in the Sankirtan directly, or then in the service of Sankirtan. Actually, everything what Prabhupada gave us is service to the Sankirtan, either directly or indirectly. Everyone is important, like in war. If there is a war, you are maybe a direct frontier soldier, or you may be behind a support, supplying material, weapons, munitions, medicine, cooking, buildings, maintenance of military quarter. Prabhupada many times said, we are in the war. So we need all the soldiers, directly on the front and also those behind. But nobody should think, I'm elite, I'm the best. Of course, those who are in the front, they get the most credit. And, or, I would say, hero awards like that. But one should not feel puffed up and think, yeah, I'm the big one, I'm the big shot, because I was directly in front, but you are only in the back. But if you don't have the back support, then what is the use of that you are in front? You will not survive. So therefore, we need all the cooperation. And that is what Prabhupada actually desired, that we learn how to cooperate in this institution. Together, we can actually show our love to him in how we are cooperating lovingly and affectionately in cooperative spirit in executing the order of Srila Prabhupada. So that was actually his desire, great desire. He told, I'm an old man, I can any time go. But you're my disciples, at that time young man, but senior disciples, but young man. Now they're senior disciples, but old man. But Prabhupada told, you are the young man and my senior disciples, although they were maybe 25, 30 years old, they were considered senior. So it's in your hand now. GBC, temple presidents, your authorities. So you should keep going now with this mission, with following my instruction. I gave everything in my books. I gave you instructions. I gave you everything what you need. I did my job. If you want to know me, if you want to understand me, read my books. Everything is there. These books are not different from Srila Prabhupada. And he gave this instruction. He opened his heart that the devotees, senior devotees, disciples, should go on with that mission without deviating, without ruining it. Try to establish the glories of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan everywhere. Like I did. I started single-handedly, Prabhupada told. Had no support. But now we have many of you. If you cooperate together, everything will come out nice. And if we do our own thing, speculating and setting our own mood, then everything will be ruined. So we are a cooperative movement. A movement can only go on if it is cooperative, otherwise not. So Prabhupada wanted that we cooperate and to work together with one interest in spreading Krishna consciousness in one way or another, either directly or as supporter or as service in the temple. So everything is important. And this way when we become recognized, Prabhupada will be pleased. He sees us. Actually, as a disciple, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should always think Prabhupada is here. He is here, multiform, on the altar there, he's in the samadhi, he's in his room, he's in his books, he's in his instructions, he's practically everywhere. So we should always feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada. And if we actually feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada, one becomes more serious. Problem is, we sometimes become lazy and don't think about that Prabhupada is here now. So if we don't have the feeling, at least we should, with the intelligence, understand and mold and engage our life in such a way that we can always see Prabhupada and feel his instructions and his mercy. You can feel if he is happy, satisfied with you, and then you feel always inspired and confirmed, and that will enthuse us. After all, the secret of success is that the spiritual master is happy and satisfied, that will enthuse us. And that the devotees are happy and satisfied. So when spiritual master is satisfied, the devotees are satisfied, and if the devotees are satisfied, you are also satisfied. So that's the best medicine. Otherwise we don't need anything else. Hare Krishna. Okay, now we still have time. I'm a little late, I see 5 minutes over. You need the mic here?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your wonderful class. I was listening on the radio, and in the beginning you were mentioning Hare Krishna. In the beginning of your lecture, you were mentioning that when Prabhupada left the planet, it's not like everyone should, you know, go and commit suicide, and that that won't be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and for furthering the mission of Lord Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu and like that. Is there one instance that Narottam Das Thakur, that he passed away, or and then he had his disciples, and when they found out that he passed away, they were doing kirtan or something, and like there were six disciples, no one, and they when they found out that he their spiritual master passed away, then they immediately nobody heard.
Yeah, this is maybe true or not true. I never heard it. But I think this is not important now with the situation. The situation in ISKCON in comparison with Haridas Thakur and with six disciples, no, it's nothing. Srila Prabhupada made an international society, global society, all over the globe. With so many temples and so many thousands and thousands of followers. At that time, followers were maybe 5,000 personal disciples of Srila Prabhupada, but this, they're now multiplied 100 times more. So that it's, I think it would be not good if 5,000 disciples of Srila Prabhupada would entering the fire or drowning themselves in Yamuna or Ganga. Or wherever they are, you know, and thinking, so we go now with him also. We know in America, sometimes in some cults, sects, you know, Christians, they're doing like that. They're following some apostle, some prophet, and he tells them, so now we're in the end of days now, so let us all commit suicide now. And then they make this mass suicide. I think this is not our mood, not. Prabhupada wanted that we... That's not what is recommended here. That's not recommended. That was maybe some rare examples of disciples who did like that, or also ladies previously who did like that when their husband died because they felt this great separation, that they're part of the body of the husband. If the husband is not here, no, they anyway become useless in the society. If she's widow, sure, she goes in fire. Later on, as Prabhupada is pointing out, it became corrupted and misused. Ladies, women were forced to enter the fire. Oh, terrible. Not possible. You know. Of course, then English government had to stop that. If somebody enters the fire, it's voluntarily, not by force. And somebody tells you. So we should not do that.
Actually, the sati movement was not banned, stopped by the Britishers most probably. It was one of the Hindu reformists who made the movement, and he appealed to the British government, and then they, because of the community also backing it, that's why it was stopped. Was stopped. It is not that the British government made it.
I was not present at that time, you know. So.
That's the history. No, nobody's present. That's the history.
I only quote Srila Prabhupada. I think he should know it. Of course, Hindus also understood that. That's not, it was not a very nice thing, you know, today.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, you told about the concept of understanding the mode of spiritual master. Like, sometimes we misapply this concept also, and understanding the mode of spiritual master. And in our life, we may misapply this concept and may create some problem to our spiritual life also. It may happen also like Guru might be wanting something from us, but we may feel or think something else and we might do that, and because of that we may create some problem to our spiritual life.
You're speaking a little too fast for me, you know, you speak like Hindi for me in English. Can you speak a little slower and pronounce it properly?
You told about the concept of understanding the mode of spiritual master. Like we may misapply the concept in our life also. Like what is actually mood for guru for me? Like it may be different for different disciples. Like guru's mood can be different for different disciples. Then what will be guru's mood for me?
Okay, good question. Like Lord Chaitanya, there's an external mood, there's an internal mood. Guru also has he has an internal mood for sure, because he's eternal associate of the Lord. So, he's not preaching that mood just like that. Because this mood, internal mood, should be kept antara. Understand? Antara means it's confidential within you. You don't make a propaganda out of it. Like your intimate feelings with your wife, if you are married, you don't speak and make it public all over the world. Right? So you keep it confidential. That's only between you and your wife. Nobody has anything to do like that. So it's therefore the internal mood of the spiritual master, of guru, is confidential. But the spiritual master has the external mission, like Lord Chaitanya also had the external mission. And only actually thanks to this external mission of Lord Chaitanya and all the gurus following in his line, we have seva today. We have something to do today. Otherwise, who would be here now if everything would be internal, you know, on rasa, inside? Most of the people will not have any inclination in this direction. So therefore, the guru gives us the mood of preaching and of serving Krishna according to time, place and circumstances, in spreading Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness, you know. And he's not inventing that, he does it on the basis or instruction of his guru. Of course, some things he has to adjust to make it palatable or understandable for the people in this time. So therefore Prabhupada makes some kind of changes, you know. But he was not deviating from the principle of the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism and of his Guru Maharaj's instruction to him personally, you know, that he should preach to the English-speaking world. So that was Prabhupada's mood. And that's how we actually can please him, you know, if we also help him, assisting him, you know, in his order to his Guru Maharaj. So your internal mood is not in first place now. First place is following instruction of spiritual master. This way you become purified, you get mercy. And if you have mercy, everything else will become revealed. Otherwise we try to realize ourselves internally, but if you have no mercy, waste of time. You will just become frustrated and an atheist in the end. Or an offender and fall away from the process. Clear?
Thank you.
Rasika Nanda Prabhu. He wants to say ask something. You mean the original one? Okay. Yeah, what's happened? Okay, now it's... Oh, you well want to clarify with before. It was not Haridas Thakur. It was Rasikananda Prabhu.
So when,
because Haridas Thakur, he didn't have disciples as far as I know. So it's Rasikananda Prabhu. He's in Shyamananda line.
Tomorrow's Shyamananda's
appearance. Ah, okay. Yeah, so there were six of them. But the Prabhupada's time was 6,000 of them. So the mood was, you know, that one should... If the guru has no mission or didn't leave behind anything to continue and he doesn't have followers or maybe one... Then maybe he can go. No. But in case of Narottam Das Thakur, he was only disciple of Lokanath Goswami. And he, Lokanath Goswami, when he disappeared, so he didn't left because he was very much important in the mission. Because at that time the mission of Gaudiya Vaishnava was very nicely organized by Sri Jiva Goswami already. And they had this Janava Devi also in Bengal, and they had these meetings there. So it became already quite organized and clear. So that everyone, even if Guru leaves, your Diksha Guru leaves, you know, still you had your Shiksha Gurus. Were not different. And he fully took shelter in his Shiksha Guru, Jiva Goswami, who told him, you should preach, you go to Bengal and save Bengal with your kirtan. So he accepted, by the mercy of his Diksha Guru, he got a Shiksha Guru also, in another form of Jiva Goswami, but actually they're identical. And his Shiksha Guru, that means Lokanath Goswami, through his Shiksha Guru, Jiva Goswami, emphasized him or encouraged him to preach more. So at that time it was already quite a mission, this wave of ecstatic Krishna consciousness flooding Bengal and whole India practically, especially this western and eastern part of India, became very strong, you know, because of there were quite some devotees who understood the mission of Lord Chaitanya and the importance of the Sankirtan. And therefore they fully dedicated themselves in this mission. Internally, of course, they were also completely absorbed in their eternal seva. It's not that they dried out internally and just push a mission. So just pushing a mission without internal realization, I think it will not go on for a long time. It will dry out completely and give it up. So the external activities ultimately should also become internalized, purified, and in relation with Krishna, because ultimately our spiritual master will be mostly pleased not just saving the world but also save ourselves and to go back home, back to Godhead, and to establish your eternal relationship with Krishna. This is actually the most pleasing to spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada. So that's the ultimate goal. So it has to go hand in hand. And it doesn't have to, the internal thing has to not be given up for the external reason, and the external reason has not to be given up for the sake of the internal. It can go parallel. As long you can. Nyirchan, Bhajan can be, maybe one time. Prabhupada wanted to, several times he wanted to go to Nyirchan, Bhajan, writing more books and deepening himself in absorption of his confidential service to his guru. Because Prabhupada's main service was not opening temple and initiating disciples and accepting many, many disciples. That was his main mission. His main mission was to write books, because that was the personal order instruction given by his guru. So he wanted to do that, but because he had to manage and take care and travel around the world and caring for so many problems, so he became distracted. He thought, so I cannot absorb and write actually the amount of books that I actually could or would like to write. He had a whole list what he wanted to print and to release. Many not fulfilled. Bhagavatam was not finished, and so many other books he wanted to also release. Because he didn't find time. He always had to come and help the devotees again, the disciples, to encourage them and solve their own problems. For Prabhupada, he wanted to absorb more, because to write transcendental literature is not just a shopping center, a mall thing, something cheap, So it needs absorption. If you are not absorbed, then what can you write? And it's actually amazing if you think what Prabhupada could do. Although he was traveling and his age and so many disciples, so many problems, you should not think there was no problem in that time. There were so many problems. But still, he could absorb. Therefore he used the early nights to write. After 12 o'clock, when everyone was sleeping, everything was quiet. 2, 3, 4, 5, this time he used to write. Got lucky. In that time there was not like so much sound pollution in Vrindavan or in the world like today. Now Vrindavan has not just the problem with soil pollution, water pollution and nature pollution, it also has a big problem with sound pollution. Where you can find a place, a peaceful place to chant peacefully, concentrated, or write. Everywhere is noise. And here especially one thinks, one has to always pile up, as loud as possible, then it's ecstatic. Amplifiers. Then it's good. That's nice kirtan, or whatever they play, I don't know. I cannot always understand what they're singing. But I see everywhere, around Raman Reti, and not to speak if you go to Loi Bazaar, around every temple where you go, even if you go to Radhakund. What is Radhakund today? It's just everywhere amplifiers, so much sound pollution. Therefore many devotees who are now in Radhakund, they go away from there, go to other places where there is not so much sound pollution. So that's the situation now. But you cannot change it, So that's Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga disturbing. But Prabhupada, he knew he had not much time. So he wanted to give his maximum amount and take the time what he had, to give us these books. So anyway, it's much to say. Time is going. Hare Krishna. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.